and there is light at the end of the tunnel. This is message 13 in our series on what people who want to be blessed know. People who want to be blessed know. Turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. As I said, this is the 13th message. And number one was they know the joyful sound. Number two was they know where to walk in the light of God's countenance. And then you had after the Spirit, to walk honestly and by faith and not by sight. Also, they walk in the Spirit. They walk worthy. They walk in love. They walk as children of light. They walk circumspectly. They walk in Him. They walk in wisdom. They walk pleasing to God. They know what to rejoice in. They know that they're exalted by God's righteousness. And tonight, they know where their strength lies. You look at verse 17 of Psalm 89. For thou art the glory of their strength. The glory of their strength. They know where their strength lies. There was a preacher who got up and he wanted to pray, and he started off and he was trying to say, Lord God, I know that we are weak and puny men. But he got a little nervous and said, Lord, I know that we're puke and weeny men. So sometimes I don't know if I feel weak or puke. All right, so I'm just going to tell you that way. And our strength lies, the first thing I want you to know where your strength lies, it always, for the believer, it lies in Jesus Christ. Okay, Philippians 4:13, in the context of the Christian walk, the Christian life, also pointing in the later in that text, in the missions giving, is I can do all things, how? Through Christ which strengtheneth me. So they know that our strength lies in Jesus Christ. I want you to turn also to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We'll not try to tarry too long. We may be able to finish this point tonight, or we may have to continue it next week, and then I'll decide if there's one more point that I will use or not. Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14. And again, our strength lies in Jesus Christ. If you want to be blessed, you've got to know that's where it is. The arm of flesh will fail you. Okay, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? Strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages without end. When you look at that thing, it says you're going to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. It is not the outer man, it is not the old man, it is not flesh that's going to be strengthened. Okay, it's strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the inner man, and it's possible only by faith. That which is not of faith for the believer is sin. Its foundation in this text, you also see its foundation is Christ's love. We get frustrated. We get annoyed. We get offended. We struggle with other people. And when we do that, that's in the flesh. But when you see them as Christ sees them, you say, Father, forgive them, for they what? They know not what they do. Its foundation is Christ's love. Above all these things is charity. It's the bond of perfectness. Okay? And it is more, that strength is more than we could imagine, ask, or think. When it says, I can do all things, God will never ask anything of you that He will not enable you to do. You need to realize that. When you say, I can't, you need to say, but God can. Amen? So you understand that, again, you want to be blessed, you need to know that our strength is in Jesus Christ. It's in the inner man. It's by His Spirit, the indwelling of Christ. And it is far greater than you can imagine in your own strength or what is possible in the world. What does it say? With God, all things are possible. Also, it's needed, that strength that we have is needed because it's not just a Christian walk, it is a Christian battle. It is a spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It's not mine, it's His. Verse 11 in that same text says, Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's a spiritual battle. You know what we end up doing? We end up looking at it with our human eyes, and we end up fighting it physically. And when you do that, you will not have victory. It will not come to the situation, because every spiritual battle and all the spiritual war, one of the last points here is, I'll get to in a little bit, it's because we're to give glory to God. So it's His battle, it's His enablement, it's His power, okay? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it's a very well-quoted passage in this church. Second Corinthians 10, verse 3, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after. It's not physical. When you have a problem with another person, you need to draw back from that problem and not make it personal. Either you're struggling in something spiritually there, or they are. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of anger, spirit of conflict, in the spirit of meekness, knowing ye yourselves, likewise also can be tempted, right? So, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, they're not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It is a spiritual war, and that war starts for the Christian in their mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. Through the God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, it's mighty, it's God's might. You pull down those strongholds, those places where in that spiritual battle, the enemy of our souls has gained a foothold. And he may do it through the bad actions or the wrong actions of another believer or another person. But you still cannot fight it that way. And it says, casting down imaginations. You're struggling, it's stinking thinking. Okay? Imaginations. You ever notice when you get offended and you start dwelling on that, you start pulling that apart and you start parsing that and you start looking at every word that was said, and then you start looking back at other things they might have said that might have related to the same thing, is showing you how they're really treating you. You start chewing on that. Okay? Well, don't be a cow and chew your cud. Spit it out. Amen? Amen. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So it's imaginations. It's those things, those high things. I got thinking about what that meant. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. If God is over all, and something exalts itself against him, it's a high thing. You know what that is? You know what that's going to begin with? Pride. I deserve more. I deserve not to be treated that way. What was Satan's, Lucifer's sin? Pride. It was pride. Every high thing. And then it says, in bringing into captivity what? Every thought. I've always had a problem with the temper. Right, Mike? I have to set it down. Have to put, you ask my grandchildren, my first reaction when you don't listen to me is to get louder. Right, Sam? He's going, oh, you should see the face I'm seeing, okay? Derek keeps telling him, just say yes, sir. Just say yes, sir. Okay? So I have to put that down. My father said if I didn't get control of my temper when I was a kid, I'd go to jail. It's just, I understand that. But my Bible says, have no dealings with a angry man. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So I want you to understand, maybe I'm not thinking of that right, but when it says every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and then bringing every thought into captivity, to what? The obedience of Christ. Is that obedience to Christ or the obedience of Christ? Only Jesus could say, I always do all things to honor him. In Jesus' humanity, God the Son in the Garden of Gethsemane asked God to remove that cup from him, but he said, but not my will, but thine be done. That's what it means, the obedience of Christ. As a son, he became obedient, even to the obedience of the cross. If you don't know where that is, start reading after Titus, and you'll find it. Okay? The obedience of Christ. Not my will, but thine be done. So you see that it's a spiritual battle. It's a battle of the mind starting off. It's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that strength and the power to fight that battle, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It only comes when we quit fighting it in our own strength, or when God makes us weak so we can't fight it in our own strength. If you ask Judy, we talk about it because we have our prayer time. We have our divine appointments. We pray every day. Every day. We prayed for many of you this morning. I can't say prayed for every one of you. Prayed for most of you this morning. One thing or another. We pray for our divine appointments. We pray especially for our children in their walk with the Lord and the victory that they can have. And we start off by thanking God for the miracle of the healing that she's seeing. And someone says, asking one of the first times when we get whether to die at the divine appointment, she says, yeah, I'm alive because of God. And she says, well, didn't the doctors help you? And she said, I'm in an easy place because the doctors offered no hope. See, and so when the world offers you no hope, what's your last resort? And it's a funny way to say it, but you say, but that's when you understand really all you have is God. And so we claim prayer promises, scripture promises about healing. I do not understand why God heals one person and doesn't heal another. Because I know with my wife and I know her and I know me, and I know that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. Okay? But it says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me." See the Apostle Paul? He had a physical problem, but what was the source behind the physical problem? "A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." It was believed that had to do with Paul's eyesight. Probably by today's standard, he would have been declared legally blind. Could he see? Very little. And he says, "You know, messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my" what? "My strength is made perfect in. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then" what? "Then I am strong." The blessing of Christ, God's power flowing through you, comes when you are humble and you are weak, even weak physically. James chapter 4. And we're going to finish this on time. I know I'm going kind of quick. I'm not giving you a whole lot of illustrations, just a few. James chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" See, that's a small s. That's the spirit of man. That's not the Holy Spirit. "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." Sometimes you don't realize it, but the grace given you is where the strength is found in Jesus Christ. When you understand that grace, you let go of bitterness. Right? Hebrews chapter 12, "Lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." When you stop having grace with others, you will be offended. When you get offended eventually, you will get bitter. And some people, you know, they talk nicer when they're bitter. It's just not real. Some people it's easy because the words... I tell people all the time, taste those words before you say them. Taste them. I have to learn to practice it. I am a work in progress, and so aren't you. "He hath begun a good work, and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." But you know what? You're not going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, where your life was meant after salvation, and even when you were born, is to give glory to God. And you're not going to stand before him and then say, "Yeah, Lord, I know I said that, but they made me." I got to take accountability for it. I got to take accountability when I misunderstand relationships, when I misunderstand words, when I hear it one way and they meant it another, and I didn't bother to take the time to find out how they truly meant it. You still with me? Okay. "For he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore," this kind of goes, bring every thought to what? The obedience of Christ. "He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see it? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Only Christians, saved people, can be double-minded. Lost people think like the world. Christians can either think like the world or have Christ-like thoughts, godly thoughts. There's no in-between there. It's either God's way or the world's way. It's not God's way, the world's way, and your way. It's God's way or the world's way. Be afflicted and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall what? Lift you up. Now go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, starting at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In the context of what? Be sober, be vigilant, because your spouse, your parents, your children, your neighbor, your co-worker, your teachers, your pastors, your extended family, does any of them found there? No. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast, how? And remember I told you part of this, the foundation, it has to be in love, but it has to be by faith. Resist that steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have had it easy. That doesn't say that, but that's what I want. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion. See the power? Forever and ever. Where our power lies is in Jesus Christ, and it comes through him when we are humble before him and even when we are weak physically. And that power is given, and that strength is given, our last point. It's given for the glory of God. Turn to John chapter 14. I've always been very confident that God hears my prayers. Not in me, because of me, but because of him. I was given a piece about that early on in my Christianity, and it's protected me in a lot of things. I have to spend a lot of time, I want you to know. I spend a lot of time telling God, please forgive me for this. Lord, please remove that from me. Lord, don't let me pick that back up. One thing Judy will tell you is I forgive very easily. She finds that a little bit harder for it to be. She forgives. I don't mean that. But I forgive it and I let it go. John chapter 14, it's for his glory. Look at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, this is Jesus speaking, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. For what purpose? Glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, obey. Keep my commandments. Go to John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, that relationship with him, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That's not talking eternal hellfire. Do you understand that? You lose that ability to be used of God when you let something come between you and Him. You heard Pastor Kenny, Pastor Christian used to say it. I've said it. I think I remember a message with Pastor Kevin at one point. Basically, you know what they're saying? Keep short accounts with God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? So that we can have fellowship with Him. He hasn't moved. It's when we do. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do whatever you want. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gathered them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, in my words, W-O-R-D. The words are important. Not just the doctrine, not just the philosophy. Every word of God is pure. In my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father, what? Glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. I told you one of the basis of that power is found in faith. It's the inner man. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we put the emphasis in this church what we do on it. It can't be on emotions, can't be on your feelings, it can't be on your good intentions. You abide in His word. You abide in His word. Now, do all of us fall short of those things? Yes. But a righteous man falleth down and getteth up again. Amen? For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And all God's people said, good night and God bless.